We have been besieged by people who say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were. And there's a great deal of doubt that is attempted to be cast upon the existence of God by different teachings that are either directly or indirectly involved with the evolution of man, or the creation of the earth, or the universe. Now, I probably should have told you this last week, because I don't want you to think this is a wildcat belief that I'm showing you. What I'm going to show you, and have been showing you, and will continue to do in Sunday school, is what is known as the gap theory. Now, in Southern Baptist churches, when they hear this, they go, "Ooh, it's not true, it's not true, it's not true." And they say, "It's heresy, it's heresy, it's heresy." Well, I want you to know that it's something that's been around for a long time. Now, when Morris and Gish started the creation scientist movement many years ago, they assured us that the earth was 4004 B.C. creation. In other words, they believed God created in 4004 B.C., and that you can go back and count the genealogies in Genesis and come up with the correct date of the earth. Well, it's odd that the Hebrews who wrote the Old Testament never did that, but that when Bishop Usher, a Catholic Archbishop, Church of England, he came up with this in 1634 after the King James translation came up in 1611. And now in many churches it's almost taught as doctrine. For Morris and Gish, I'll just put it out straightforward, they're not always honest in what they tell you, because I'm a scientist and I know they're not honest. But one of the things they did that really burned me, they said that the gap theory was nothing but an answer to Charles Darwin's theory of evolution. And so in order to facilitate that, they went back and said the gap theory originated with a man named Pember, and that Pember came out with the gap theory for the first time in about 1885. Well, why is that important? Because Charles Darwin came out with his 1859 book on evolution, Origin of the Species, and so they did that to prove that it was an answer to the gap theory. Well, now, if they had done that in ignorance, I wouldn't have been irritated. But they knew full well where the gap theory started. It started in 1830, but they don't want to let you know who started it, because it was started by a man who was a pastor of a Free Wee Church in Scotland, and his name was Dr. Thomas Chalmers. Now, he had a degree in Bible languages from Oxford University in England. Now, when you go through our seminaries, you can get a doctor's degree in Bible languages, but compared to the Bible degree from Oxford University in England, we are a bunch of little pipsqueaks that don't know what we're doing. And so my awareness of the Hebrew language compared to Dr. Thomas Chalmers and anyone out of Oxford University is pathetic. But there, you really have to know what you're doing, and you have to understand all the peculiarities of the Hebrew language. So Dr. Thomas Chalmers had a doctor's degree in Bible languages. He was a very brilliant man. Well, being a brilliant man doesn't make you filled with the Spirit of God, but he was a born-again believer. And he was a man who exonerated the new birth and believed in superior the believer, as far as I've been able to tell in reading about him. Furthermore, he also had a doctor's degree in geology. You don't get a doctor's degree in geology from Oxford University unless you know what you're doing. So I want you to know that he originated it in about 1830 to 1832, and it was not an answer to evolution. He did it strictly from the Bible languages. I also want you to know something else. This was what they taught in the Missionary Baptist Seminary in Little Rock. And if there were any teachers that didn't believe it at the time I went through, I'm not aware of it, because they taught this as being the truth whenever I went through the seminary. Now, another ironic thing, this is something I believed before I ever went to the seminary in Little Rock. So from the time I was very young until present day, this is something that's been around a long time. Morris and Gish call it heresy. Why? Because they want to sell their books about creation. And they have led a lot of well-meaning preachers down a garden path that get all upset when you start talking about it. Well, I'm telling you, this is not some little thing that was done in a corner. This is something that's been around since 1830, long before Darwin came up with evolution of the species. Now, I explained all this in intricate detail last Sunday morning, so I'm just going to hit it lightly this morning. And these are using different charts, so I won't bore you stiff. Now notice in chapter 1 of Genesis, in verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. I don't have any problem with Morris and Gish, they believe that. But they have a problem with me and anyone that advocates the gap theory. As long as a person believes this, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, that's all that's required. Now, you've got to understand that when God gave this account, who did he give it to? He gave it to Moses. And they were wandering around in the Sinai, a bunch of Hebrews that had been delivered from the land of Goshen in Egypt. They had crossed the Red Sea, and they had gone into the Sinai. They had crossed the Sea of Reeds, Yom Sup. And there they were, and he gave this to them, wandering out in the middle of nowhere. Now, you're not going to go into technical detail to a bunch of nomads wandering out in the wilderness. So he gave a very simple account of creation. And that's the way it has to be accepted. This is not something that God gave to a bunch of rocket scientists wandering around out in the desert. He just gave them a very simple account. He said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now we're going to take a look at the word tohu, because it's very important. Notice tohu, a Greek word which we'll look at in a moment. What does it mean? Without form. And you find it in Genesis 1:2, and you find it in Jeremiah 4:23, and you find it in Isaiah 45:18, and it's in quite a few places. So what does it mean? Well, here's the way it's translated. Confusion, empty place, nothing, naught, thing of naught. The number after this shows the number of times in the King James translation that it's translated as these various things. If you put them all together, it comes out with a definition. It means a chaotic place of confusion, absolute desolation, a mixed up hodgepodge, a mess. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I believe that. I believe he created it perfect. I do not believe it had any flaws in it. And I believe also that he put the first embryonic life forms here, one cell embryos, and he created them. And last Sunday school, I showed you in the Bible what Satan's sin was, and I'm going to continue to elaborate on that. And before I'm finished with this, I will prove to you that Satan's sin was to procreate life. It was something he could not do. God can procreate life. He is the original creator. He is the giver of life. All Satan can do is manipulate life forms. Now, notice what he says in verse 2, Genesis 1:2. And the earth was without form. So if that word was, is correctly translated as was, and it's the word hagitha, which we'll discuss in a moment, then that means that all that God created the earth without form, confusion, an empty place, nothing, a thing of naught, vanity, waste, and a wilderness. God did not create the earth that way. This word was is hayah. It was not created that way. It became that way. And the word was is a state of being verb. Remember the English eight parts of speech and the linking verbs is, am, are, was, were, be, been? It's a state of linking. And what it is, that should be became. That does no violence to God's word. I'll prove that to you before I'm finished. And void. Now he added and void. And void is the word bohu. And when you put tohu and bohu together, it means that it was the most, and I say this reverently, the most god-awful mess you've ever seen in your life. It was a horrible state of terrifying, unbelievable confusion and devastation. God just doesn't create like that. Now, he may take what he has made and cause it to become that, but he doesn't create like that. So I went through there and showed you that last Sunday. Now, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. When God first created the earth, in Genesis 1:1, it was perfect. And Satan, the anointed cherub, as I showed you in Ezekiel 28, in Isaiah 14, he was the anointed cherub that covered the earth. Satan was placed on the earth, and Satan was responsible for the earth itself, and he was over it. He was an archangel. But he wanted to be like God, as I showed you in Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14. And he rose up and tried to do something that would put him alongside God. He tried to create original life. He failed utterly. After about 5 billion years, he came up with a creature that could walk erect, which Leakey refers to as Australopithecus. It had no soul. It was a hairy being. Had enough sense to bury its dead outside the caves where it dwelled, because he didn't want to stink up the cave. Could make crude drawings, as monkeys can. But it was not God's creation. It was the manipulation of these one-cell forms that were put here a very long time ago. So what did God do? And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Before I'm finished, I'll go into 1 Peter, and I'll prove to you that we have had two floods. This was the first flood. God flooded the entire earth. He wiped out the dinosaurs. He wiped out all the manipulations that Satan had made of the human life forms. And then in 7 literal 24-hour days, God recreated the entire earth, which I'll be proving as the Sunday mornings progress. And God said, "Let there be light." This is the beginning of a refurbishing, a recreating, a reestablishing of what God originally created. And on the sixth day, God created a man we call Adam, and God breathed into the Adamus' nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, the reason I know that this word has to be became, it's the word Hayah, or Hayitha, and it can mean was, or it can mean became. In Isaiah 45:18, the reason I know that this has to be became is because Isaiah, in Isaiah 45:18, is definitely describing the creation of the earth. Isaiah 45:18, "For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it, he created it not in vain." Not in vain is the same identical word as without form. And it says that not in vain is the same identical word tohu, and here they translated it not in vain. So what does it mean? Ruin, vacancy. It's the word tohu. This is the word tohu here. This is the word tohu translated in three different words. So God did not create it tohu. But Moses says he did. Therefore, in order for these to be consistent and for the Bible to be the truth, this has to be translated became, which is perfectly legitimate. God did not create the earth a chaotic maze of confusion. It became that way. Now, he said, he created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Now, when you look up this word that is translated wasteness, desolation, emptiness, vain thing, worthless, you'll find it in all of these scriptures. God did not create something that was worthless. God did not create a vain thing. God did not create a desolation, an emptiness, and a wasteness. That's what the word means. So you can see here that there was an original creation that was marred. Now, this is the word Hayah. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It was perfect. And the earth was, this is Hayah. These are the Hebrew letters making up the word, was tohu. Now, we're going to take a look at what this word was, Hayah, means. Notice, Hayah means to become, occur, come to pass. It can be translated become or come to pass. I want you to notice in the New International Version, notice, they underline the word was, and they say, or possibly became. So became or was, both are perfectly legitimate. But we know it has to be became because Isaiah said he didn't make it tohu. Now, in Wilson's Old Testament Word Studies, one of the most reputable known for the Old Testament, he says that the word Hayah or Hayitha frequently is rendered become. It's a state of being verb. This is the new Strong's exhaustive concordance to the Bible. Notice what number 1961 is. Hayah. Notice it says to exist. It's a state of being verb, a linking verb. Is, am, or was, were, be, been. It means to exist, to be, or become. Is, was a good translation? Absolutely. But became is just as good. Now notice here in all these different translations, number 1961, which is the same word, in Genesis 2:7, and man became a living soul, was parted and became into four heads. The same became mighty men. She became a pillar of salt. That 1961 all the way through here, and you can see there are more than 50 of them. And we go all the way through the Bible, clean on down into Ezekiel. You can see that this word is translated became many times. So what happened? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. There was one solid landmass, Peter says standing in the water and out of the water. Geologists now, going back in time and dating the original Earth, believe there was one solid landmass called Pangaea. And there were no imperfections in it. There was one solid landmass created by God. Not created Tohu, not created Bohu. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I believe that's what this was right here. But Lucifer sinned. I showed you in Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14 what his sin was. Once Lucifer, who had been placed over the creation as the anointed cherub that covereth, he tried to create life himself. He couldn't actually create life. He couldn't make anything that had life in it of his own volition. So he began to experiment with the life forms that were here. Now, I told you 25 years ago when I first taught this, I told you they would clone a frog. And I told you if they ever did clone a warm-blooded creature, that would be the sign of the end. I did not know what stem cells were. I did not know how Satan did this. But the Bible clearly teaches he did, which I'll get into probably next Sunday morning, and I'll show you how he does it. I didn't know what stem cells were. I knew what DNA was. I knew the chromosomal structure and the various sperm and egg that come together to make a human being. But I didn't know you could take the stem cell out of an embryo and create any organism in the body, from a finger to a foot to an eye. I didn't know that. But that answers a question I had no answer to. How did Satan manipulate these things and begin to change them into something that was not what God intended, but something that Satan was trying to create to form over this world and rule over it for him? When Satan sinned, the earth broke up, and it became Tohu, and it became Bohu, and all these plates began to break apart. We now know that Africa and South America were once joined together. We know that the United States was once joined together with Europe. We know all these things because we find the same identical types of creatures right in through here in the rock that were on the other side before it spread away. This is Tohu and Bohu that you see here, where the actual spreading began. You see how it continued to begin. Tremendous volcanic eruptions would have been breaking out along all of these tectonic plate boundaries as they moved apart. It would look like the biggest state of mass confusion and hell breaking loose on the earth that you have ever seen. It would be Tohu and Bohu, and I think that's what you're going to see in the tribulation period. This is the earth as we know it today. You still have the tectonic plates. They're still spreading. They still produce volcanic eruptions and earthquakes, just not as many. Now, this is what I was taught in the Missionary Baptist Seminary at Little Rock. And now I understand some of the younger teachers there are starting to break away from it and are starting to follow this creation idea of Morris and Gish. That's their right and their privilege, but I don't believe it. I do not believe the earth is just about 6,000 years old. The earth is much older than that. And I'm not going to follow a Catholic archbishop or a Church of England, whichever way you want it. They broke off the Catholic Church. I'm not going to follow the teachings of a man who believes you could lose your salvation, someone who we would classify as a heretic today. And just because 70 Episcopalian or Church of England translated the original documents, I am not going to accept was just because I believe that they themselves never made an error. God didn't make any error. The original writers didn't make any error. And the original writings are inspired. But the King James translation is a translation. Do I ever use anything else? No. I'll use the King James translation until I die. I love the King James translation. I believe it's the best translation. But it was the original writings from which it was actually translated that are without error. And that word can be became. Now, this was the original earth in Genesis 1:1. It was a perfect earth. It had all the land masses together. This is the chaotic earth in Genesis 1:2, when it became Tohu and Bohu, when Satan tried to create life back here. Creation fell. This is the earth's water baptism, and the face of God moved upon the waters. God then flooded it, wiped out all the land animals, all the land creatures, completely wiped them out. And the only things that survived were the creatures in the sea. We still find fish exactly like the fish that are in the rocks, embedded in the rocks, from millions of years ago. We find living fish just like that along the coast of Africa over here. And there has been no evolution. And God left those creatures in the sea. He didn't kill them. But He killed everything that was on land. And God started over in 7 literal days. And on the 6th day, He made Adam. Now, I'm hammering on this because I want you to understand where we're going when I start to show you scriptures that prove that actually Satan manipulated the life forms that were already here because he could not procreate life. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. That's this right here. Genesis 1:2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. This was the chaotic earth, Genesis 1:2. As the tectonic plates spread apart, you would have had fantastic volcanic eruptions. God has created the atmosphere where you have a tropopause layer, where the temperature increases, between the troposphere, the lowest layer, and the stratosphere, the layer above it, and it forms a cloud. And because there is no moisture above the tropopause level, the particles that are blown up by volcanic eruptions are not able to have liquid to condense on them, so they can't become heavy enough to fall out, and it takes a long time for the cloud to disperse. There was a complete cloud around the entire earth during the period of the chaotic earth and very little sun. Then God, after probably about 5 billion years, with all the angels, a third of them followed Satan, they decided that they believed that Satan, with an end, would win this battle. And so they followed Satan, and all the angels that stayed with God, two-thirds of them, and the third that followed Satan, got to watch this thing. Now, to us, time is everything. But angels know they're eternal. They don't have any problem with eternal life because they know they're going to live forever. But one-third of the angels made their choice, and they followed Satan, and they're sealed in it. Once you receive Christ as your Savior, you're sealed in your choice, and there is no reversal of it. But both the angels of God that remained with him and the angels of Satan that fell with him got to watch Satan for 5 billion years try to come up with a creature by manipulation of the original life forms, the one-cell creations. By manipulating that, and we'll talk about stem cell manipulation later on, was able to create on this earth a human, not a human as we understand it, but a creature that walked erect on two legs without a soul. That's what God flooded here. That's what God destroyed. Then, in Genesis 1:3, he begins the restored earth in 7 literal days, and on the 6th day he made Adam. Genesis 1:3, and God said, let there be light. That is the restored earth of Genesis 1:3 to 2:3. The original earth is Genesis 1:1. The chaotic earth is Genesis 1:2. The restored earth is Genesis 1:3, 2 through 2 and 3. Now, this earth is going to be changed. There's coming a millennial reign. In this millennial reign, you're going to have this situation, Isaiah 35, 1 and 2. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. God tells us that during the tribulation period, Satan is going to be chucked into the bottomless pit along with a false prophet and the Antichrist at the end of the tribulation period. He will be confined into the interior of the earth for 1,000 years. Revelation 27 through 11. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the world, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. At the end of the millennial reign, 1,000-year reign of Christ, there will be another final battle made up of the descendants of those who 1,000 years before came down and attacked Israel at the end of the tribulation period, with the final battle being the Battle of Armageddon. These are their descendants 1,000 years later. Where'd they come from? The Bible indicates in Ezekiel 39 and 2 that 1/6 of the Antichrist army, made up of Gog, Magog, and all the troops associated with it in the 38th and 39th chapter, that 1/6 will destroy and go back to their home countries. They'll escape. And they'll go back and actually produce children. And at the end, 1,000 years later, their descendants will come, and they will finally attack Israel at the end of the millennial reign, believing that they can destroy Israel. Verse 9, and they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. Now this time, God is not going to use volcanic eruptions and natural phenomena to destroy the armies at the end of the millennial reign. He's going to use fire directly from his person, which is a type of fire and energy with which we are not familiar, except possibly through lasers. And fire came down from heaven, from God out of heaven, and devoured them. This is the kind of fire that came down on the altar and consumed the sacrifice of Elijah when he offered it up before the prophets of Baal. And it actually consumed, the Bible says, consumed the stones around it. And this is not what we're familiar with in the form of volcanic eruptions. This is direct latent energy from the very person of God himself. Verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. So when you go back through all these, you've got a chaotic earth, the original earth. You've got the original earth, Genesis 1:1. You've got the chaotic earth in Genesis 1:2. You've got the restored earth in Genesis 1:3, 2, through chapter 2, verse 3. Then you've got the millennial earth, Isaiah 35:1 and 2. Then you've got a renovation of the earth by fire, and fire came down from God out of the heaven. This is the earth that is going to be renovated by fire. And then finally, in Isaiah 65:17 and Revelation 21:1, after everything has been burned to a crisp, God is going to make a new spiritual earth, made not of things you see on a periodic chemistry chart, but whatever Christ's body is made of, whatever the glorified body is made of, whatever the angels are made of, that's what this new earth is going to be made of. This is the new earth. This is the final earth. There won't be any more after that. Isaiah 65:17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. I've looked at that for a long time, and I realize that bothers people. They say, I want to have a remembrance of this life, and I want it to come into mind. I want to remember my mom and my dad and my uncle and my aunt and my children. Well, I wish I could console you and say that's not what that means. I'll just simply tell you that I might be wrong, but I don't think you'll want it to come into mind there. I think you're going to be so busy doing the things that have to do with giving a full and complete a life and working for God, you're not going to have time for that. And I like the idea of being able to recognize Imogene and all the kids, and won't it be wonderful there? And I think in the millennial reign that will be the case. But in this final heaven age, I get a distinct impression that the former things shall not be remembered to come into mind. Maybe we will be able to recognize our family and our children. I don't know. But the former life, and it could well mean the former displeasures of life, the unhappiness of life, the lack of joy we had here, that will never come into mind. It could well mean that. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, you're sounding like you don't know exactly what that does mean. Well, in the vernacular of the Arkansas terminology, you got it, Clyde. And whatever God decides is fine with me. Revelation 21:1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Now, I did all that, so when I came to this, it wouldn't be mass confusion. We start off with an original earth here. The next one is the ruined earth, Genesis 1:2. Then we have a reshaped earth, which I've already covered. The reshaped earth is Genesis 1:3 to chapter 2, verse 3. Then we've got the cursed earth. What's that? That's when God cursed the earth because of man's sin and flooded the earth during the days of Noah. Then after that, you had the earth that was flooded because God cursed it. Then Noah came down on the mountains of Ararat, and today we have the present earth. This is where we're living right now. In the tribulation period, which I believe is on our doorstep, we're going to have a tribulation earth. When that's finished, after the latter portion of after the Battle of Armageddon, the tribulation earth will end, and we will have a millennial earth. That will be completely destroyed by fire, and a new earth made of spiritual chemical properties rather than what you see on a physical periodic chemistry chart in a lab. This is going to be a spiritual kingdom, I believe, made of spiritual things. Now, I've already gone through in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. That's the original earth. And the earth was without form and void. That's the ruined earth. And God said, let there be light, and that is the reshaped earth. Then after that, you've got the flood of Noah's day, and then you've got the present earth, which came out of that. I showed you in Isaiah 45:18, and Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, that God did not create it, tohu. Now, look at Jeremiah 4. You see, I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void. Look back here. And the earth was without form and void. Same construction. Jeremiah writes in Jeremiah 4:23 through 25, I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void in the heavens, and they had no light. Now notice he's talking about what God did at the end of it. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. I told you about this great cloud that surrounded the earth back in this period of time. There is your great cloud, and they had no light. Then you have the tremendous earthquake, the cataclysmic thing, and then there is, at the end of this, no man, and there's no bird. He doesn't see any life. He says in Jeremiah 4:25, I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heaven were fled. Now, Satan fell, and I showed you in Ezekiel 28 and in Isaiah 14 when he fell, and in Revelation 12, we are told that a third of the angelic host followed him.
And his Revelation 12:4, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, those are the angels, and did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, this is the birth of Christ, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. The devil failed long, 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 long ago. Now, this is the geological record. In the original earth, and this comes from Hebrew University in Jerusalem, it shows you different types of rock layers. This is Cambrian rock on the very bottom, these little crosses. Then you have Nubian sandstone, Cenomanian sandstone, then Turonian limestone, then Senonian limestone. The original creation was a perfect creation. But when Satan sinned, the hills tripped lightly. I say this reverently, it became tohu and bohu, and all hell broke loose, mass confusion. All of a sudden, what you see here, Senonian, Turonian, Cenomanian, Nubian, and the earliest rock forms that were on the earth in the Cambrian period. This is what this became. All of a sudden, all over the earth, valleys dropped down. Mountains lifted up. You had the sea itself when God broke up the crust of the earth. You had the sea itself coming up. You had the earth here, originally created. Then God completely flooded it. Then God brought the earth up out of it. Later on, he flooded it again in the days of Noah. Since that time, you've had all kind of cracks develop in the crust of the earth. The tectonic plates have continued to move. They've built up pressure, more and more pressure. They continue to produce more and more earthquakes. This is what the land looks like today, when originally it was created perfect, and a lot of it has worn away. Now take a look at this Psalm 104 that talks about creation. Psalm 104, verses 6 through 9. Thou didst cover it with the deep as a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. That is what happened in Genesis 1:2. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Then Satan tried to create life. After Satan had tried for about 5 billion years to create life, he had come up with all sorts of weird life forms that you find embedded in the rock. He took the original cell creations of God, which were perfect, and manipulated them into all the creatures that you find today in museums that are called Tyrannosaurus Rex and many other different names. Now, then he flooded the entire earth. He covered it, the deep, that's the oceans and seas of the world, like a garment, and the water stood above the mountains. It was a solid flood. At thy rebuke, they fled. Then God began the recreation. At the sound of thy thunder, they took to flight. Then the mountains rose. Up came the mountains, and the valleys sank down. God manipulates these tectonic plates. They can move sideways, or they can go up and down. The mountains rose, the valleys sank down to the place which thou didst appoint for them. God reshaped it, God refurbished it, God remade it. Thou didst set a bound which they should not pass, so that they might not again cover the earth. We're going to talk about the worldwide flood in the days of Noah. And we're going to talk about was it a worldwide flood, or did it just flood the land of the Adamos? And we'll be talking about that later on. But we've gone from an original earth to a ruined earth to a reshaped earth, to a cursed earth, to the flood of Noah's day, to the present earth, and we've still got to face a tribulation earth where it's going to go on this pleasant planet. Then we're going to have a millennial earth, which is this earth that we live on now after the reclamation of it. Then it's going to be destroyed by a fire directly from God, and then a whole new earth, a spiritual earth, made of things with which we're not familiar, is going to be created, and we're going to live on it in glorified bodies. Now, a lot of preachers today in our work are beginning to believe that the earth really is about 6,000 years old. Quite frankly, they accuse me of changing everything because I'm a geologist. I have believed this, which since I was a very young man, has nothing to do with me being a geologist. I must confess that as a geologist, I find that truth is truth, whether you find it in geology or whether you find it in the Bible. Geology is a hodgepodge of truth and great error and many mistakes. The Bible has no mistakes, and the Bible is written without error, and the Bible is the inspired word of God. But when I find that the Bible matches what I understand of creation, then I'm not going to disregard the Bible and make it say something that I don't believe it says. These are the phases of the earth. This is the Grand Canyon. You can go down to the bottom of the Grand Canyon, and the Grand Canyon was formed by water that started off up here as a little tiny creek, and it just kept wearing away and wearing away and wearing away over billions of years. Finally, it cut out of the rock, all the way down to the bottom today, what is known as the Grand Canyon, which was cut out by the Colorado River. Now, down here on the bottom, this granite, pegmatite, pink or white, was during the Cretaceous period. Not the Cretaceous period, but the... good grief. I thought I'd never forget that. The first period, why can't I remember that? Because I'm getting old. But initially, there were no life forms on the earth, and this was nothing but a rock layer. Gradually and slowly, you begin to have the first traces of life, plants. They were the first manipulations of Satan, where he took the original one-cell life forms and began to try to manipulate them into plants. He kept on mutating the various types of DNA and the stem cells that were in existence in original minute form, and he began to manipulate them until he formed all sorts of different life. Notice as you go up the Grand Canyon, you see a progressive type of life. Beach deposits with shells, seaweeds, and crab-like animals. Were these God's creatures? Yes, they were. But what kind of God's creatures were they? They were manipulations by Satan of the original life form to create what Satan wanted to rule over the earth for him, because he wanted to be like God. Eventually, you come up with fish scales, and then you keep going up until you find the higher life forms, and eventually, you'll find types of reptilians and amphibians. God flooded the world in the time of Genesis 1-2, and he wiped out all this aquatic life. Now, good gravy, good gravy, I don't know what that means. It's a quarter till. Now, I'm going to go next Sunday, and I'm going to go through in Peter's account, and I'm going to show you the original creation and how these verses correlate with it. And then, next Sunday, I'm finally going to get in to how Satan could not procreate life, but I'm going to show you in the Bible and prove to you that he was able to take the original life forms, manipulate them, change them, very much like you would use stem cells to form new types of things. I'm going to show you how he mixed them together and how he came up with all these creatures on the earth, which indirectly were God's, because he created the original life forms, what were primarily manipulations by Satan of what they call today stem cells. And I think you'll find it very interesting, and Lord willing, we'll do that, continue with that next Sunday morning. And we're putting this on tape. If any of you would like to have a tape of it when it's finally finished, well, I'll be glad to supply you with a tape.